Now, tonight, like I said, tonight I felt like I wanted to share a little bit about what God is saying for Forerunner and for this church in general. But I believe something is happening in the body of Christ that looks a little bit different. And it's really interesting. We talked to different folks. We have different folks, you know, man, you're going to a house church. Man, that's awesome. And you get genuine excitedness, you know, and they're like, yay. Yeah. And then you have other folks who say the exact same thing. Oh man, we're super excited that you're starting a home church. I wish all churches were home churches, but yet they work for a church, but they say it in this like, oh, you're out. You're out. I'm still bound, but you're out, you know, kind of doing. It's really funny. But as I was just kind of sitting before the Lord this week, two scriptures that I felt like in this season that really God placed in my heart. The first one is Matthew 16:18. And if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Acts chapter 2. We're going to read that in a few moments. But in Matthew 16:18, you have Jesus and Peter are having this encounter. They're having this discussion, and Jesus is asking Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter, through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, tells them that you're Jesus Christ, kind of gives them. And this is what Jesus says in verse 18. It says, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And the part that the Holy Spirit really highlighted for me is, I will build my church. So one of the key issues that sometimes as pastors, you know, we look out, and I know for us, sometimes we get to church on the west side, and it would just be me and my family. And, you know, it can kind of get discouraging sometimes. You're just like, oh, well, it's just us. I'm looking at my kids, and, you know, my daughter, she's like laid back in the back couch area back there, and she's passed out asleep. And so it can kind of get discouraging. And so sometimes as pastors, we forget about why we're doing this, that this we're spirit led. And so we're like, okay, how can I build my church? How can I build my church? I got to put this event on. I got to do this program. I got to do, and I'm not saying that any of that that's wrong in and of itself. It's not wrong, but are you doing it in the right spirit? And so what Jesus is saying is, I will build my church. And I know me personally, I kind of fell in that. Sometimes I have to wrestle myself out and no, it's not about me trying to build a church. But God said, I will build my church. And so that's the first thing that the Lord kind of placed, the scripture that the Lord placed in my heart. And I'm going to get back to that here in a bit. The second one, and this is how we live. We live our ministry, our life. And that is Mark 12:30-31. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. Beloved, I believe in this new season, I've been asking the Lord, what does this new season look like? What is the church looking like? I'm a PK. I've been in church my whole life. I can tell you the good, the bad. I can tell you stuff about pastors in the city that will blow your mind. I mean, I've heard just wild stories. I've seen a lot. I know the ins and outs. But doing a church is easy. I can do that. I can, you know, people are like, hey, why don't you, you know, when we were on the west side, I was like, why don't you have a church on the north side? I said, oh, I can do that. That's easy. I can build a church in my own power and it'll be big and whatever, but that's not what God wants. That's not even what I want. I, along with others, are looking for something different. I feel like there's two types of people in this season. One are the folks who like the big church experience. And I'm not saying that, and hear my heart, I'm not saying that this is wrong. And that is the anonymity. You can go into the church. No one really knows that you're there. If you don't come for a couple months, no one's really, hey, I didn't see you at church. You know, you can kind of fly under the radar. You know, they also have the programs. You know, there's some parents where, and there's nothing wrong with this. They're like, well, look, my kids are homeschooled. I don't want to be with my kids. Send them to the kids ministry. So let them deal with it. That's your problem. I get to have a break where I feel more like, you know what? Church is a place for family. We come and learn the word together. We worship together. You have your programs, you have your ministries, you have different stuff. And so you have the big church experience, the box, what's the word everyone's been using? The box store. The box store, that's what it is. The box store church. And there's nothing wrong with that. But then you have a second part or a second grouping of people I feel like the Lord's been challenging. And I I align myself, and that's the one who wants a house church experience, the Acts 2, the first century church. And in this experience, you get intimacy. You see, when you don't show up for a few weeks, you are noticed. Hey, wait, we didn't see Karen for a while. We didn't see Tosh, or we didn't see Tiffany. Somebody needs to check on them. Are they okay? So you have the intimacy, you know, at a box church, you can, you know, if you're having a bad week, you have your hands down to the side, you're not worshiping. No one really knows. But when you're in a small atmosphere right here and you're kind of sitting while the worship's going on or whatever, it's kind of hard to kind of get away with what's going on in your life. Number two, you know, another part of the aspect of the church experience or the house church experience is accountability. How is going on with your wife? How's it going with your kids? How's life going? There's accountability. And probably one of the biggest things, especially I feel like COVID is really highlighting the longing in people's hearts, and that's doing life together. You know, you can do life together in a big church and hear my heart, one is not better than the other, but people are looking for different things. Some people are looking for, you know, and I'll use this example. You know, I remember when I went to Asia, went to Brunei, and we were in Singapore. When I was flying over, and we stopped off in Singapore, everyone's looking for a different experience. I was looking for the cultural experience. All right, we're at the airport. I want ramen. I want stir fry. I want local food. My aunt, she's like, "Where's the McDonald's?" She's like, "I'm just going to go to McDonald's." And so none of it was wrong. And it's just how our experiences as believers. Some are looking for the big store, the big box church, and that's, they want the programs and the feel good and the big worship band, and there's nothing wrong with that, but there's others who want something different. So after praying and wise counsel, here we are. We're in our church, or in our house, sorry, in our house. Oh yeah, you'll find out that I fudge words all the time. So it's, if you see them laughing, yeah, that's it. We're in our house, and we're here a little bit, we started here, now we're back. We're here a little bit sooner than we thought. We felt like we're going to be another month or so in the building, but the Holy Spirit had other plans. A new season and a new beginning. Really, and this question was a challenge towards us, or asked towards us, and I'll say this, it's getting back to our first love for me and Tiffany. That's loving Jesus, and two, it's loving people. It's seeing God manifests himself in a greater way into people. It's seeing people get equipped to go do the fivefold ministry, whether it's healings, whether it's signs and wonders, the prophetic, we get to see that. So if you have your Bibles, and this is where the Lord, I just been stuck on this. You know, I'm trying to do my daily devotionals, and you know, I'm going through Proverb a day, a Psalm a day kind of deal. But I keep going back to Acts. I'm going through Acts chapter 2. And we're going to read verse 42 through 47. And out of this, we're going to pull out and extrapolate just a few little key points where I feel like the Lord is calling us as a body to do. And this is what it says. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, and as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their numbers day by day those who were being saved." So this kind of what these key points, I believe it's like seven, is what I feel like the Lord has for us. Because people are asking, well, what does this look like? Is this a house church? Is this a church? What is cell group? And I had one person, "So you're telling me like people are just gonna come in their pajamas and just kick it?" I'm like, no. It's not that lax, you know. Yes, it is kind of a come as you are, but not that lax and stuff like that. So this is what I feel like the Lord is saying for us. And so kind of as I was just asking the Holy Spirit, how can I articulate this in the proper light without sounding foolish or just like everything else? And so now this portion of scripture that we just read, it recounts the character of the early church, the first century church's worship, focusing on four key practices. One is the devotion to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to communal meals, and to prayer. It also describes their life together as one of the spiritual and material sharing among all. And I'm like, Lord, okay, I love this. This is what I've been wanting. I've been wanting this for a long time. I believe there's hundreds of people, thousands, millions, who've been wanting this for a long time. And so as I've been reading, going over this portion of scripture, the Lord drops some insight that pertains to us as we embark in this new journey. So the first thing found in verse 42, it says, devoted themselves to the apostle teachings. Now, you will hear from me a lot. And I'm not sitting here saying, though, I'm the apostle or anything like that. Yeah, it's been spoken over us. But everybody, if you know me, you know my wife and I, we're not big on labels and stuff. You know, people, oh, Pastor Josh. The only time we do, I do personally, is in Africa. And even then, we really joke about that. You know, in Africa, you got to kind of have a title and stuff like that. So one night I might be a pastor. Next night it's Apostle Josh. And we do it as a joke just because it's like, we don't really care about the titles. And so I know, like, my buddies that I go with, they usually stick with one or the other. I'm Wise Man Joshua now. For those who if you ever hear somebody say Wise Man Joshua or anything like that, it's kind of a joke, whatever. And that comes out of TV Joshua. He had his wise men around him and stuff like that. And so I feel like in this season, you know, you will hear from me, but it's not going to just be me. There will be others that will come to share the word, because it says devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And I believe that God is bringing people who can share the word and bring forth the word, and people are still going to get touched. And it doesn't have to be me. I'm okay saying that. I like vacations every now and then. At the end of the month, I'll have Kelvin back in. Glenn, for those who don't know Glenn, he'll be sharing, I think, in May or something. He'll be sharing the word. I know we have Nicole who can definitely share, and Grace can share. We have so many people as part of this body that can bring the word. And so the first part is that we'll be devoted to the teaching, the spiritual teaching of the gospel. We're not going to have some new age stuff, and we're not going to have all the snake. You won't see us handling snakes and stuff like that. The second thing that I thought, or that the Lord kind of pointed out, was communion and prayer. And that's in verse 42. It says that they partake in the breaking of bread and to prayer. You see, this could refer to the participation in the Lord's Supper or to sharing of other meals together, as in Acts 2:46. You see, when it talks about, if you go down to Acts 4:46, where it talks about breaking bread and breaking bread at the top in verse 42, it's actually using the same language. So they could be using communion. They could be using just breaking bread. Hey, we had a pizza together. We went out to Lynn's buffet or whatnot. So the meanings weren't interchangeable. It's the same thing. But for me personally, I felt like what the Lord was saying is that it is highly likely that they're both viewed, but for us, I feel like communion, remembering what Jesus did on the cross, be first for us. Yes, we'll break bread together, and I'll get back to that, but I believe that we as a body, we break bread in communion, and we remember what Jesus did on the cross for us. In Acts, prayer indicates dependence on God, hope in the future, and desire for advancing God's kingdom and God's work. I also feel that prayer needs to be a part of our culture. Prayer is just not a personal thing that you do alone or hidden in your closet. Hear me. I love personal prayer. I believe it is great. Yeah, you should have a personal prayer life. You should have a personal devotion. But personal, great, it needs to be done. But we need not to forget the power of prayer in the corporate setting. There's something that happens when we come together and we pray together. Prayer points for contrasting things may look different. So we might come together as a body, as we come and we're, you know, this is our church time or whatnot. It might not just be praying for This or that. It might change throughout the whenever as the Holy Spirit leads. So it could be prayer points, as in globally, as you can, if you watch the news, one of our prayer points could be praying for Ukraine and for what's going over, what's going on with Russia and Ukraine. It could be prayer on a national level, could be prayer on a state level, could be prayer on a citywide level, etc. So I believe that one of the things that the Lord's calling us to do more, and it's kind of funny, it's not like we don't do this, but I think there's going to be a greater emphasis, especially when you're in a small group. It's like, man, all we do is take communion. All we do is pray. That's what we're supposed to do. So number one is communion is going to be key, is going to be integral, that we take, we break bread together in communion. The next part is prayer, is that prayer must be part of our culture. I love IHOP, International House of Prayer, the 24-hour house of prayer model, the House of David or the Tabernacle of David model. Prayer in a corporate setting is key to our DNA. You know, what if Tiffany's going through something, going through a just health issues? As we come together as the body, we can lay hands and we can pray and we can release the glory and see things happen. So the second part, or the second kind of thing that the Lord's kind of showing, is communion and prayer. The third thing is many signs and wonders. In verse 43, it says, and many signs and wonders were being done through the apostle. Part of the message of Jesus's resurrection is his authority. You see, he sits at the right hand of the Father as Lord and as King. The apostles testified to that reality throughout the message that they preached. That was like one of their biggest things that they preach, was they testify at Jesus's authority, being Lord and being King. Its truth is confirmed by the wonders and signs they perform through the works of the Holy Spirit. We must also continue to make room for the Holy Spirit, for as and it partakes to us, is that we will continue. And I say continue because I'm totally for this, is that we must continue to make room for the Holy Spirit. I'm old school. I listen to more old school stuff. So if you ask me, who are my influences? Who do I like to listen to? I'm going to give you Smith Wigglesworth. I'm going to give you Hudson Taylor, Amy Sybil McPherson, A.A. Allen, Jack Cole, you know, all those guys, just because they lived a different lifestyle. And so I believe as a body and as a community that we will make room for the Holy Spirit. If I get to finish my message, great. If I don't, because the Holy Spirit says, okay, we need to pray, then I will allow the Holy Spirit to take preeminence. I also believe that as we are in a home church environment, it's easy to be, you know, services over. If you need prayer, and this isn't a knock on anybody, okay, so hear my heart. If you need prayer, come after church and we'll pray for you. Well, for me, you know, a majority of the population are steadies. And so they're a little bit more intimidated by certain things. And so for me, when you say, if you need prayer, come after service, we'll pray for you. If you don't really want prayer, oh, good, I can skirt out real quick. But there's something different when we haven't dismissed yet. All right, we're going to pray for folks. Who needs prayer? You can't leave. You can't go anywhere. You're kind of stuck. Either you're going to leave set free or healed or have your needs met, or you missed it. And so Mark 16, 17 says this. 17 and 18. It says, and these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. If they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. If they will, you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. These are the signs that follow the believers. And so as we come together as a house church, as a house body, we are able together to come together to pray, to have demons cast out. I mean, when you grow up in a church culture where at church people are getting set free from demons, you know, when stuff happens, it's not like, oh wow, this is new, this is interesting. It's just like, well, this is our culture, this is what we're used to. Me growing up, I grew up in the, you know, Eagles Nest Christian Fellowship here in San Antonio, and I grew up seeing during services people manifesting and demons coming out and Rick, all right, come out in the name of Jesus. And so when things happen, it's not a shock to me. It's not like, oh, it's part of my culture. It's my DNA. You know, seeing people get set free from sicknesses and ailments. I remember we had Tim Story come and I remember him just blasting people and people getting healed. So, anyways, why do I love signs and wonder? Well, two reasons. Well, one, Jesus said these signs will follow the believers, and two, they should always point to Jesus. That's why I love signs and wonders. I remember when I just got back from Mexico, saw many miraculous miracles, and your faith is up. And so I get back, and we had this guy that was in our church, just started to come. It's a long story, but he was in a wheelchair. And my faith was just so up because of what happened in Mexico. I'm like, he's gonna get out of his wheelchair. Now, as believer, sometimes you have that, I've always had that where, you pray for someone and all right, and they're in a wheelchair. Get up in the name of Jesus. And you pick them up and they just crumple down the floor. And you're just like, well, sorry, buddy. But this time the spirit of faith was just all over me. And I remember I was like, all right, we're just gonna pray. We kind of wind down my message and we prayed. And right after I pray for this man, he gets out of his wheelchair and he starts to walk around. He's been in a wheelchair. He was hit by a car. So he had pins all in his body and his hips. He couldn't, I mean, he was jacked up. And we finish up. They go home. We're driving kind of through our community. And I see the wife pushing an empty wheelchair. And I roll down the window. I say, hey, where's so-and-so? And you gotta love these folks, And she just looked at me. She said, "He said he don't need this no more." And I said, "Hallelujah!" And he already walked home. And within a week or two, he had a job, and his stamina was at a level to where, if you've never been in a wheelchair, if you've been hurt, you've been sitting for a while, your stamina low, you're just being having getting sick, and sitting out for a week or two. And your stamina is low, but I mean, God totally healed his body. And so it was so amazing because it's like you can't deny Jesus did something when you get out of a wheelchair. When we prayed for this other lady, we were just walking, I was tired, and I totally didn't have oil on this one, but we knew the family, and she, make a long story short, she fell, broke her jaw. They took out big portion of her jawbone. Put in some metal. She was allergic to the metal, had to go back in to get the metal removed. And so we were coming out of kids club. We had some friends with us, and she was like, "Can you guys pray for us?" I was like, "Yeah, let's pray." Didn't really feel like I was tired. It was hot, so I didn't really feel like I had a ton of oil, but I was like, "Lord, if someone asks or if you lead, I'm going to go pray regardless." We pray, and I don't remember what I prayed. I do remember saying, "Lord, baffle the doctors." A week later, we were back. "Hey, how'd your surgery go?" And she's like, "It happened exactly how he prayed." And we're like, "What are you talking about?" She's like, "The doctors looked at me, the same doctors that performed her original surgery, did this surgery. And they're like, ma'am, we took out bone. We know that bone is gone, but there's bone there again. So we had to go through the bone to get to the metal." And so to make a long story short, she couldn't deny that there was a God. She comes out listening to her story and just praying with her some more, found out she comes out of a line and lineage of pastors, and she's just been going through some stuff. And so now she moved out of our community. So I don't know, we haven't kept up in a while, but at that point, she started, all right, Jesus is real. Like, you can't tell me. You can see her face went from covering because of her drug addiction, went from covering to just smile. I didn't care. I'm smiling and thank you, Jesus. And so I love signs and wonders because they point to Jesus, and they always should point to Jesus. Oh, grape soup. Now going back to our last point of where we pray as a community, our church, there's this young kid. He had a grapefruit sized tumor in his head. And I remember we were praying for him. Goes into surgery, and they scanned it just to make sure, so they don't, well, let's do surgery. We don't know what's going on. They scanned it one more time. The grapefruit size tumor completely was gone, and never cut into. And so we see that mom occasionally, and she's like, to this day, it's been years, and I still remember that God healed my son. You can't convince me otherwise. And so I totally believe that signs and wonders will follow those whom love. The next part in verse 45, and it says, "And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing their proceeds to all as they had need." I kind of asked the Lord, I was like, "Lord, what are you trying to say through this?" And I kind of equate it to, again, the gathering of the tithes and the offerings. And this isn't, hear me, a tithes and offerings message, right? Oh, great, here comes, I knew there's the money. Where's the money coming in? This is what the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. You see, those in the early church, they, in the early Christian community, who had properly, voluntarily sold it to help other Christians who are in need. I believe that as a community of believers, that we want to give extravagantly, give with generosity. Not that I can have a nice car, a nice house. You come here after a while, you're like, oh yeah, they're definitely not taking anything from here. Which God didn't call us to take a paycheck from the church or anything like that. We're missionaries and we raise support like missionaries. And I'm okay with that, you know? But what God did struck me with is that as we give extravagantly, we can pour into people who need. Hey, I couldn't make rent. We got you. Hey, my car's broke. Hey, I just need gas. I need some clothes. I need this. We can be a body. As they said right here, they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributed the proceeds to all as they had need. As the need rises, we can say, hey, we got you. Us as a church, we support a missionary from YWAM because we fell in love. Well, everybody knows Abdiel, but we fell in love with Abdiel. And so part of our tithes that as we give generously, we support him on a monthly basis. And there's sometimes we just feel like the Holy Spirit say, do more. And we'll do a fundraiser. We'll put on Facebook, hey, if you can give more. And we did this a couple months ago where he needed a need. And we're like, we got you. And we gave him more and more than he ever fathomed. And he was just like, man, thank you. I appreciate it. That's why I believe as we give generously, we can give back to the kingdom. Our other person is Sandra. We're going to do a fundraiser here soon. As we were moving, we're going to do it last month, but as we're moving from the building to the house church, we're just like, oh, there's a lot going on. But we want to just bless Sandra. We don't support her monthly yet, but Tiffany was like, we want to bless it. Let's just give her a big old love offering. I said, okay, cool. Let's do it. So that's why I believe in giving generously. So we can, as the need arises, we can take care of the needs. The fifth point, and I'm going to start kind of wrapping it up. 46 is together. Temple ? Now, this point may point to the Christian's continued observations of Jewish daily prayer in the temple. At this point, Christians are still part of the temple worship services in Jerusalem. But I believe that God is changing the expression of what it looks like to worship in the temple. Now, but what I mean by this, the temple meeting could look different in this next season, in this new day and age. It could look like worship in the park. For those who don't know, friends of our Glenn and Grace, the Lord birthed something in their heart to do a worship in the park. And for, I can't really share the vision as well as them. And so we actually shot a video. I'm editing it. And so I'll post it on different social media. I kind of share the heart. What is worship in the park? But really, worship is the park. It's just a bunch of Christians coming together under the banner of Jesus. It's in Four Winds Church. It's in Kingdom Life. It is in, you know, Roca Ferma. It's not a church. It's just different believers coming together and worshiping Jesus. So the temple may look different. It might be we go to another Sunday service. I know tomorrow, since we don't have church on Sunday, we're going to, Michael and his family and Glenn and Grace are going and they're going to lead worship or help with the worship. And we're just going to go just to champion them. It has nothing to do with us. We're not to take the mic. We're just going to champion. So the temple, we're going to champion the church. The temple may look different. And so we have to get out of this mindset that, oh, it has to be in the four walls or it has to be this. Yeah, it will look like this. It could be the house. As we worship here, this is the temple. So getting out of the mindset out of the building looks like this, this, and this, it may look different. And then six. The sixth thing was relationships. verse 46 through 47, it's breaking in their homes. They receive their food with glad and generous, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day who were being saved. Now, where it says the Lord added to them day by day, this demonstrates that the Lord is ultimately responsible for his community of believers. Responded to his actions by proclaiming with love. I really feel like as this home church, we are supposed to do life together. That's what I believe this is what the church is that we do life together. Is that, you know, if and me personally, those who know me know that because I love wisdom. I ask a lot of questions. What about this? What about, tell me about this? Because I love the wisdom of the older generation. And so I believe that this is what God, what Jesus was intending in the first century church is doing life together. So we have families that as we come and as we do, is that we watch each other. You know, it takes a village to raise kids, you know, and so we do life together. We go out together. We have fun together. We go to parks together. We fellowship together. We go out and eat together, and we worship together, however that looks. So I believe that we didn't see Bill this week. Hey, how you doing? We didn't see you at church, or we haven't seen you in a couple weeks. How you doing? Relationships. Brought that to the forefront of society is that, you know, now where people are getting to a point, I haven't seen my grandma or I haven't seen my family or this or that. They're just getting sick of it. But, you know, during the vid, you couldn't see anybody. My kids, you know, and the statement was said when my aunts came over, she had her mask on, and my son, my youngest one, Asher, was like, now what's your name again? And when COVID started, he was 4 years old and he's sick. And so had nothing to do with her being bad or anything like that, or him being bad. It's just when you have a mask on for so long and you don't see, you know, your family members day in. And we're a very family oriented family. We see our family members, we go and visit, but when you can't, it's like, who are you again? And so COVID has made people, and the church is like, we got to be relational. I truly believe that God created us not only to worship his son Jesus and to worship him, but to have love and intimacy with other human beings. We're not meant to be by ourselves, but to do life together. And as we do life together, as people see, that's what Jesus said, how will they know that you're my disciples or that you love one another? As we start to show, hey, we love you, no strings attached. We love you, no strings attached. That's how Jesus built this church, because the world is looking for something different. They're tired of the passes of LA and the flashy suits and the flashy shoes and the jackets and the shirts and the Jordans. They want to see a real man, a real woman with real problems, with real needs, that is willing to say, hey, look, I'm working out my salvation just like you every day. You know, I have my bad days. I still have to repent, you know, kind of deal. And they're looking for power. You know, one of my scriptures is 1 Corinthians 4:20, is that the kingdom of God is not talk, but demonstration of power. The world out there is looking for people, the people of God, to demonstrate power. Don't just show me that, you know, don't just tell me that you love me. Don't just tell me, oh, I see you're sick or you're going through marital problems. I'll pray for you. We're the world is past. Don't pray for me anymore. Do something about it. Release power. Give me that prophetic word. My son is sick. Come pray for him. Lay hands. That's what they're looking for. And so I believe that as the believers, we come together, we love, we do life together, the world will see and be like, wait a minute. There's something different about them. I want part of that. And that's how Jesus builds his church. And then the last part, this is kind of the bonus. You go into two chapters after Acts 4, and I'll finish up with this. In Acts 4, chapter 4, verse 32 through 37, this is what it says. It says, now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that had belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were given their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. there was not a needy person among them, for as many were owners of land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and was laid at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as who had need. Thus Jacob, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. This is what the Lord kind of showed me as I was looking at Acts 2, 42 through 47 and Acts 4, and really just the whole book of Acts. And this is the last thing is that it's a kingdom lifestyle. This is the lifestyle that we live. You're not going to see me on Sunday, or we shouldn't be just seen on Sunday. Oh, Shaka Baba, praise the Lord. But it should be part of our lifestyle that when you're at the grocery store and you're standing in line, you see a sick person. My brother used to drive me nuts. You know, I had to get over it, but you know, we worked together and we would change air filters for Walmart and HEB. And so we'll be changing air filters and cleaning out the air ducts. And he'll see someone with a broken leg. Hey, Josh, I'll be right back. And he's running over there and he's praying for them. And I'm like, dude, we're at a job, man. Come on, you know. But that should be our lifestyle, that we love one. We love our neighbor, whether they're saved or unsaved. We love them unconditionally. We just love them like Jesus loves them. Number two is that we see people, when we see things, it's not just, we don't put the front on Sundays. Oh, Josh is here, or Tiffany's here, or Karen's here. Gotta put the Shaka Babas because they're watching. It's our lifestyle. It's our DNA. This is what we do. If I'm out at the gas station and pumping gas, you're praying for someone. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, it's going to happen all the time, but I like to pray, Lord, send me divine encounters. That's why I like to pray, Lord, send me divine encounters. And we've had divine encounters. We've been at restaurants where the right person comes and we're like, let's pray for them. And we pray for them, or they get a, now, if you want to see this in action, kingdom lifestyle in action, go hang out with Geraldine and Debbie and Jane, go have lunch with them. And we go out and Jeff's there too. And we'll go after kingdom life, we'll go out to eat and we're all just sitting there. And next thing I know, as we're finishing eating, the poor waitresses, well, I don't want to say poor, but the waitresses are getting prophetic words from like seven different people. I mean, and ladies are crying. I mean, yeah, people walking up. I want some too. That is like, that's how we should be living day in, day out, a kingdom lifestyle. So I believe this is what I feel like the Lord is wanting us to live, the kingdom lifestyle. I feel like the Lord is wanting us to get back to the basics, and it's the simplicity of the gospel. My last scripture, all set, and this has been burning in me for past year or so. Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3, it says, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as so to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burn, but if I have not loved, I have gained nothing. Beloved, we must get back to the basics. That's what I felt like as we go back to this home church, is that we're getting back to the basics. Do I love the really heavy prophetic stuff, or not just prophetic, just any of the heavy teachings? Yeah, I love it. But what's the sense of being prophetic, or what's the sense of walking in deliverance, or you have a deliverance ministry, you can cast out demons and pull down strongholds and this and that, or you can heal the sick, but yet you go home and you don't apply what the scriptures to your daily life. Yeah, you can release healing on people, but yet you still go and you beat your wife, or you, the Lord's like, God, we got to get back to the simplicity. We have to get back to not only hearing, but being doers of the word. Yes, I hear this and I take it home in my daily life. Well, I'm at work. You know, that's grumpy Glenn over there. You know, grumpy Glenn. Every time I see him at work, man, he's always fussing and cussing at somebody. But at church, Shaka Baba, God is saying we got to get back to the basics. It's the simplicity of the gospel. Not churches can get into that, where we get into a bless me club. We start doing this and this, and everyone comes and gets fat and lazy, and we become weak knee, jelly belly, flat foot, milk rin, banana back, pencil neck Christians, where we get fat off all the knowledge that we get, and then we don't take it outside the four walls. And I've been told, I had a prophet telling me one day, when she's giving us, she was reading our mail, and she was a real deal. And she looked at me, she says, "You have a lot of knowledge." She said, you have a little bit too much knowledge. And I was like, yikes. I knew I was in trouble because I know a lot. But just because you know a lot doesn't mean that you can apply it. So I believe this is where we're going with Forerunner. And so I really felt like this message was to kind of, when people ask, well, what does this look like? How are you? I could just say, hey, here's the podcast. Here's the message. Listen to it. This is what I feel like, is that one, me and Tiffany, yes, we are pastors, but we're steward pastors, which means if, you know, Glenn and Grace are like, Josh, we love you, but we're going to go to another church. We feel somewhere else. It's not, you're out the will of God. I've got that many times, but it is, you're leaving. Then let's bless you, man. You're not mine anyways. Y'all aren't mine. For a season, I may steward you. That's it. And so we bless people as they leave. Yeah, I've been in ministries where I've watched my dad, hey, God's called us to go do something else. And the man of God or the woman of God is like, you're out the will of God. And I'm like, whoa. But God told you to go. Now I believe like God has to give me a clear, like define, like, no, they really are. Yeah, then say something. But 90% of the time they hear from the Lord. And so it's just walking in love. It's going to look different. Will I tell you that I have all the answers? No. Sorry, Bill. I will probably piss you guys off or offend you. Not that I wake up in the morning and like, man, I can't wait to do somebody dirty, but I'm a human and I mess up and I mess up. But I will tell you that I will do my best to pastor and to steward the people that God has brought into our lives and to bring community in. And when people feel like, hey, this isn't my place, and to champion them and say, man, we love you. We love this season that you are with us. We bless you in the name of Jesus, because that's how we should be. We're not gang members. Christianity is not a gang member. Hey, this is my set. You don't leave. This is my set. You know, gang lifestyle, it's you're in, and then the only way you leave in is either get jumped out or you're in a body bag. You know, that's not how Christians should act. It's if you're we're out of here. I mean, as soon as you say, hey, I feel like God's called me to somewhere else, you get ostracized. You have the scarlet letter, gets right put on your chest, and nope, stay away from them. They're, you know, so I believe that God is doing something different. And it's not just us, but it's God is doing something with the remnant. It has been so amazing as we talk to different pastors, different lay people, just different people. They're saying, we're going to a house church too. We're going to a house church too. I'm like, all right, God, are you up to something? Are we ahead of the curve? You know, what's going on? So this is just my heart. And that I will tell you that me and Tiff love people. We just love people. I love the people that we met at Kingdom Life. Are we Kingdom Life 2.0? I'll tell you that. No, we're not Kingdom Life 2.0. We take a lot of stuff. We learned a lot and we implemented a lot of that. Are we Eagle's Nest 2.0? No, we're not Eagle's Nest. We're who God called us to be. And it may look a little messy sometimes. It may look a little weird. It may look like we don't know what we're doing. I know what I'm doing, but when you're being led by God, sometimes he's just going so fast, your whole body is just in the air. You're just being taken on a ride. And that's how I feel sometimes. Running, and I'm just like, my feet aren't even on the pavement. I'm just flying in the wind. I'm like, please slow down, Jesus. But I just wanted to share that this evening. Next week, we'll talk about repentance and the benefits of repentance. And I feel like the Lord's wanting us as not only as individuals, but as the body to turn and to repent, because this is why we are where we're at now. And that's another soapbox, and I'll start getting onto that. But for those who joined us online, I just want to encourage you, same time, same place next week, 4:00, we'll be here. We'll have a live band. I'm curious how we're going to pack everybody in here tonight. I don't know what's going to have, but hey, we'll pack them in. We'll pack people in like sardines. But yeah, I'm really excited what God's doing in this new season. And if you're called to this church, man, we welcome you with open arms. If you're just coming to visit, That's cool too. Like, we'll see you. We have people pop in and out, and that's okay. We're totally cool with that. And it's just a different season. I'm really excited. So let me, I just want to pray for those who are watching. I believe everyone here and that's here tonight knows Jesus. But if you're watching online and you don't know Jesus, you never asked him to be Lord and Savior of your life, I want to give you an opportunity just to say a quick prayer. So if you're sitting here in your stomach, you might have the what we call the bubble guts. You're like, oh man, my stomach is turning. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. I just want to give you that opportunity this evening that you've never asked him to be Lord and Savior. Now, I've done kids ministry for years and years. So I always say boss. Jesus is the boss of your life because a boss you listen to. When the boss says, all right, I want you to clock in at this time, or I want you to do this job or this job, you do what he says. And Jesus is the Lord and the boss of your life. So when Jesus says, I want you to love that person, or I want you to go to this church, or I want you to go to this country, you just say, yes, sir, I'll do it. And you do it. So when I count to three, if that's you, if you're at home, raise your hand, but just repeat this prayer after me. One, this is the best decision you'll ever make. Two, he'll never leave you. Three, if that's you, just raise your hand. But I want you to repeat this prayer. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. I confess that I need you. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior. And from this day forward, I choose to follow you. In your name, I thank you that I am now set free and I'm a child of God. And I receive it and I believe it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, if you said that prayer and you said it, and whether you said it in your heart or you said it out loud, I just want to say thank you, man. Congratulations. Welcome to the best party, the best people. This is the best choice that you've ever made in your life. And so I tell people three things. Number one is tell somebody that you accepted Jesus, that you said that sinner's prayer and you're living for Jesus. Number two is find you a good Bible believe in church. It doesn't have to be our church, but hey, find a church. And number three, go get yourself a Bible. If you need a Bible, find us on Facebook, message us. Well, maybe if you're watching this, you already know where we're at, but you know, send us a message. We'll get you a Bible. We want to make sure that you have the Bible so you can start reading, because all the answers, I mean, you can find it anywhere. You can get on your iPhone, your iPad, your watch. I have a book version. There's so many ways to have a Bible, but that's so you can start reading, because all the answers are right in here. How to love your wife, how to love your kids, how to do money, or how to, you know, invent, whatever. It's all right here. So we love you. We thank you for joining us tonight. And so, Father, I just bless this stream and us as we are here tonight, Lord. I just release the Father's blessing on each and every one of us, Lord. I just ask that as we go, that you would send divine appointments, Lord. I believe that we don't retire until we go into glory. So Father, even whether you're old, middle, or young, Lord, send divine appointments. Let us walk in power in the name of Jesus. Amen.